to let these things mar that sweet fellowship and the outpouring, the giving of thanksgiving to God for what God has done and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And then in verses 13 and 14, the truth that we have been sealed, according to verse 13, with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or down payment or the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption one day. Although redemption in the past, that salvation has been given, redemption complete will be given that day, will be accomplished that day when we are at home, when we are with the Lord Jesus. And then he says again at the end of verse 14, unto the praise of his glory. I trust that as we meditate upon these things tonight, that will be our attitude, that these thoughts will be to the praise of the glory of his grace, the one who, through whom God has given us these many blessings. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. I think is the best rendering, since place is in italics and not in the original, in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. And while he is overwhelmed with these thoughts of God's blessings, he asks us to bless the God who has blessed us. God gives to us the blessings. Our gift to him is the praises and the thanksgivings that come because of his blessings upon us. And they are spiritual blessings. All the blessings that we have come from him. But there's a special place in Paul's heart and should be in our hearts for spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Mr. McDonald, in his commentary on this verse, says that you can build a pyramid around the phrase, all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. At the top of the pyramid, blessings, wonderful things. Things given to us because of our relationship with the Lord Jesus. And then beneath that, spiritual blessings. While material blessings are wonderful, crawfishes are wonderful, but not as wonderful as the spiritual blessings, because crawfish and all other temporal blessings are just that, temporal, temporary, and passing. And then under spiritual blessings, all spiritual blessings, all that we need, our God will provide. Under that, and in addition to it, all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, the places, the place where they come from, the realm or sphere where God is and where we should be living, although we're living here on earth. And then, to cover it all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, why Paul says the words blessings a lot? He's not just occupied with the word. He's occupied mostly with the thoughts of the one who is the giver of the blessings. I've said already, God gives us the gifts and we bless God with our praises. We receive because he's the giver of every good gift and we're moved by his mercies to give back to him. But the passage is not about our giving back. The passage is about his giving, about his blessings, about his spiritual blessings. They're called spiritual because they are not aimed at, although they are in the temporal man is enriched by them. They are for the inner man, for the spiritual man. The other blessings are temporary, as we've already said. We don't carry them with us when we leave. It is true that we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain, the Bible says, that we will carry nothing out. I shouldn't say but after reading a verse of Scripture, but you'll understand what I mean when I say that we have sent before the effects of the spiritual blessings or the effects of having lived in this heavenly atmosphere that Paul asks us to live in. We won't carry our money, our crawfish, our wood out of this world. We'll leave it all behind. But we carry those things that we have appreciated of the Lord Jesus and we have used for His glory. It is true, the earthly things, the temporal things, are convenient. They're comfortable. But they are passing. They are transient. And they will end. And I suppose the instruction of God's word would be that we should give them less time, less importance, and less concern, Roddy Pinder first, then we do those spiritual things that are given. And they're spiritual because they are being given by a divine person through the divine spirit. You see, if you give, or when you give, there is something of your character that goes from you to the person who receives the gift. It might be a big gift, and your generosity is labeled on that gift because of the heart that gives it. It is therefore true that because God gives, that His character is imprinted upon His blessings to us. They reach our spirit through God's spirit. For God so loved the world that He gave. It's a description of the greatest gift that was ever given. And it is a mark of the character of God. Not only that He gave, but that He gave His only begotten Son. Because His was the only gift that could afford us eternal life. Whatever else anybody else could give, however much of a sacrifice it would be, there's nothing that can compare with the gift of God's Son. And it tells us something of the giver. We divided those verses that we read together between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Verses 3 to 5 tell us the blessings of God, because He is the giver. Verses 7 to 11 tells us of the blessings of the Son. He is the reservoir or the depository of the blessings of God. You can't go to God. Hear me out. I'll try to describe it. You can't go to God on your own to get any of His blessings. They're not available to me or to you except through the Lord Jesus. The blessings come down from heaven, all of them, to Him, to the Lord Jesus, and to us through Him. In Him, the Bible says, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. And verses 13 and 14 tells us that the blessings of God are by the Holy Spirit, who is the communicator of the blessing. God the giver, the Son the reservoir, the container, and the Holy Spirit the communicator. A poor illustration of that is that we get our water from the mainland. All of it comes, government water, from the mainland. That's where we get it from. But it doesn't come to us directly from the mainland. You don't have your house piped up to a line out in the passage. Your water comes from a reservoir on the top of a hill. All of it. And you don't get the water because the water gushes out and winds up in your house. It comes through the pipes arranged to bring the water to you. That's one system. And all three parts are necessary. But it falls short, doesn't it? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are one. Not only one system, but one in essence. God in three persons. And when we understand, as we should, that we are the recipients of such wonderful love and wonderful grace, Paul expects to us, the Holy Spirit of God expects us, that we will, our hearts will overflow in worship and in praise and in thanksgiving for the blessings that we receive from Him. Spiritual blessings, because if we gave thanks only for material blessings, our thanksgivings would be weak. They would be muffled by sobs. They would be darkened by clouds. They would be painful because of the earthly weaknesses, human bodily weaknesses that we go through with the doubts. If all we had is what we're going to have here, we would question the wonderful love of God. But we have to remember that because these blessings are spiritual, that they also consider the time to come, the eternity after, because when God forgives our sins, He forgives them for all eternity. He gives us a passage out of time into a realm beyond. He gives us correction for the mistakes that we make. He gives us purification of the earthly passions that would destroy us without the indwelling Spirit of God. He gives us a hope for the future. And this evening we've come to take advantage of a wonderful blessing, access into the very presence of God by the Holy Spirit, that we might praise and worship and also ask by the Son through the Holy Spirit for continued spiritual blessings. It causes us to say, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus." But it says all blessings, or all spiritual blessings. Word "all" is a small word, but it's one of the biggest words in our vocabulary, because it doesn't leave anything out. Everything that we need, God will provide. God, we know that because His Word says it. We know it because we've experienced it. There's nothing that you've needed until now that God has not given to you. A lot of things that I've wanted, He has not given, and I'm almost old enough to realize that that was a good thing. Some of the things that I've asked for would have hurt me terribly. God said no. So He did answer. He just answered according to His will and not according to mine. You see, you and I cannot outwish or outdream God. So you say, "Well, thank you for letting me know. I'll ask Him tonight for $1 million when I go home." Do you want to ask me, do I think that you'll get it? I'd like to answer you whether you ask or not. I don't think so. Oh, I don't know that it's not, it won't happen. God is certainly able to give it. It wouldn't hurt His bank at all. He owns everything. But the chances are that if we asked for it, that we would be asking for it, the Bible says, to consume it upon our lusts. We want something with $1 million, something that perhaps God isn't interested in us getting. I think of all the wonderful things I could do with $1 million. I wonder if I would do them if I had it. Maybe God prefers, I think God prefers that I don't have it. To believe that He can't give it, or that He's too small for my wants and my needs, is like a little fish, the smallest fish, looking up through the top of the water and shouting up into the heavens, "God, this sea is too small for me." Everything that you need, and a million times more, is within the ability of God to provide, but He gives only what is best for you and for me. Even, I'm going to meddle, even when the crawfish price is low, God gives all that we need. Even when, remember, I have, pardon the personal illustration, but in my work, I've have one show a year, a show of my work in Nassau. Plan for it the whole year, go down, and from 5:30 to 9:30, one night, out of the whole year, I have a show. I pray about it, I pray for God's blessing upon it, I pray He gives me strength to make the stuff so that I pray that He'll give good weather for the people to come. All of those things around it, I pray for. A couple of years ago, we went through the entire hurricane season with no storms. A hurricane hit Nassau on the 11th of November of that year, and my show was canceled. If you had asked me then, do I think that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, I would have said yes. But you wouldn't have appreciated the look in my face when I said it. I would say it because I know it to be true. But oh, for the time when I can in prison look up to my Heavenly Father and say, this is best for me and I thank you for it, because God is able to provide all and does provide all that we need. When does He do it? Well, if it was earthly blessings, it would be, you'd know, because you'd, when He gives it to you, you'd say, aha, that's the time. But isn't our Father wonderful? He has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. So as far as God is concerned, the transaction took place. Born in His mind in eternity, fulfilled by Him at the place called Calvary. Again, that triune work, the work of the Trinity, in eternity chosen in Christ, historically at the cross, redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, and personally, the day that you got saved, sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, the day you believed. And again, we say with Paul, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I must rush. May I ask how much of the spiritual blessings are yours and mine? I know you're going to say all, but be careful. It's a trick question. Because I have another question. How much of the all are you enjoying? How much of the all? Think of God, the omnipotent, all-powerful, the omniscient, all-knowing, the omnipresent, the God who's everywhere. The immutable, unchangeable God. And everything He has, in some sense, if you take into consideration that you have to put in that phrase, everything He has that He wants us to have belongs to us. All of it. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. How much of that am I enjoying today? And if it's limited only by my apprehension, only by my what I hold on to. There was a city in Israel back in the days of the kings called Ramoth Gilead. It was outside of the, I believe it was on the other side of the Jordan River. It was certainly in the hills. And the word of God says, someone said, know ye not that Ramoth Gilead is ours and we do not possess it? It belonged to them. It was being occupied by the enemy. The enemy of Israel was living in a city owned by Israel. Have I touched on anything in your life as I have touched on something in my life that I am not enjoying because the enemy, I am not enjoying the blessing because the enemy lives there? The enemy has robbed me of the joy of some of the possessions that I should be appreciating. I need to stand tall above the temptations of the enemy. They say that one of the gases, one of the deadliest gases that sometimes leak into the coal mines is a heavy gas. And it spread almost exclusively over the floor. So where that gas is, the way to avoid being poisoned by it is to stand up straight. Hold your head up high. That's how it is in this world. That's how it is with temptation. We need to stand up straight and strong for God to avoid the temptations of the enemy. The last words in this verse says, in Christ. In whom are our blessings? In Christ. Who's the theme of the book? The Lord Jesus. Everything the Lord has for us is in Him. Everything He has for us in Him was procured at Calvary. And because He has given us these things, that where we stand, everything that we will ever have and ever will be is in Christ and in Christ Jesus alone. Now that's where we stand. Where are we walking? You say that's different? Yes. Well, could be. Usually yes. Do we always walk in accordance with the position that we enjoy in the Lord Jesus? Many of us don't. For many of us, and this is taken into consideration by the scripture, that we change by a process. We change every day on our way home, and we should change toward the likeness of the Lord Jesus. It should be continuous. It should be steadfast. It should be noticeable. People should be able to look at me today and see I am further along in the likeness of Christ than I was several months ago. But we need to understand that truth, and it is taught in God's Word. In our standing, we are perfect. Hebrews 10 and 14 says, for by one offering, He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. We are perfect. But God allows for the fact that we need to work on that. For Matthew 5 and 40, it says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. We need to be what we are. And we can do that by working towards it. Romans 6 and 2 says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We are dead to sin, according to Romans 6 and 2. But Romans 6 and 11 says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. We are dead in our standing. We need in our walk to walk as those who are dead unto sin. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, but ye are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His most marvelous light. We are a holy nation. But 1 Peter 1 and 15 says, but as He which has called you is holy, be ye also holy in all our manner of conversation. We need to be what we are. We need to possess our possessions. And because they are in the heavenly places, we sometimes think, and truthfully or rightly, that it's because they come from heaven. They come down from heaven to us. But there is a truth which sometimes I neglect, and that is that in order to get the gifts and in order to get the blessing, we need to go up to where the blessings are. They are in the heavenlies, and in my heart and my conscious living should be in the heavenlies with Him. And that's what chapter 2, verse 5 says. Even when we were dead in sins, as He quickened us together with Christ, verse 6, and hath raised up to get us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Him. That's where the blessings are. They will not come down if we live in a selfish, godless life, even as Christians. We will not experience the blessings that God has in store for us. Take a plant out of the ground, bring it into your house and put it in a dry vase, and you can almost watch it wilt. Take a Christian out of the fellowship of the Lord's people, out of studying God's Word and meditating upon it. And I'll show you a Christian who will wilt almost before your eyes, because what he needs, what she needs to develop and to grow and to flourish has been taken away. And that is the nearness to the Lord Jesus. God's gifts can't flourish in the smoke and dirt of pollution and sinful surroundings. And if we live in that atmosphere with sinful companions and sinful conversation, we can expect not to find God's blessings there, because he has quickened us and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If there is an example in God's word, and there is, of how to do that while living on earth among sinful people, is the Lord Jesus. And I close with this thought. John 3:13 says, "No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven." The Lord Jesus, while he was talking to Nicodemus, was in heaven. The Lord Jesus, while he was lying in a manger, being held by Mary, was in heaven. As he worked at the carpenter's bench with Joseph, he was in heaven, because he is the God who is everywhere. And when he hung upon a cross of shame for your salvation and mine, he was in heaven, because that's what he said. He lived in heaven while he was working on earth. And while there is a sense in which that cannot be true of us, you and I are not omnipresent. But there is a sense in which you and I can live among life's changing circumstances, among difficulties that oppress us, with sinful companions around us, that we can live having our minds, our thoughts, our desires, subject to his will and to his word, and they are always in the heavenlies. He doesn't live anywhere else. If we live with him in those places, then we will receive the blessings that verse 3 tells us are ours. And since it tells us are ours, and it is God's word, they are ours. The question to me and to you tonight, how much of them are you and I enjoying? And as a result, of what value are you and I to the Lord Jesus, who has given us these blessings, who has died to procure them for us, who lives to disseminate them, to pass them on to us, and is waiting one day to receive us to himself so that he might give us those things that you and I couldn't even bear tonight. I really believe that. I believe that if you and I had, in these bodies of ours, the frailty and the limitations of this body, if you could see what God has in store for you, you wouldn't be able to stand it. But one day we'll be like the Lord Jesus. And those things that, in addition to what you know about and I know about, that he has for us will be available to us. And thankfully, you know, nobody will be able to ask us with a question mark on their brow, how much of those blessings are you enjoying? Thankfully, all of the things that which distract will be gone in that day. There'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more sin, no more attitude, no anything that will stand between us and the realization and enjoyment of all that God has in store for us. Oh, I pray that I'll be different today because of these things, so that I might, and you might, appreciate the blessings, but not primarily the blessings, because the blessings are all wrapped up in the blesser, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Our Father, we do thank you tonight for all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Help us, Father, to lay aside every weight that so easily doth beset us, run with patience, endurance, the race that is set before us, so that when we reach the finish line, there will be those crowns which we will be able to take from our Savior's hand and then lay them where they truly belong, at His feet, in worshipful praise and adoration. We pray these things with thanksgiving in our Savior's name. Amen. Good night, and may the Lord bless you.